Well, I hope you all enjoy that Discovery Bible Study. And the purpose of that is we learn how to read the Word ourselves, and we learn how to disciple others in the Word. It's a really simple way that we can read the Scriptures. For people who are interested in God or open to God that don't know Jesus, or people that are new believers, and even people who have been believers for a long time, man, the Word of God speaks to us, so it's always fresh when we get into it with God's Spirit. Richie referred to this earlier. I was going to share because we're going to talk about these people that we find in our lives that God will put in front of us that are open to Jesus, that want to learn about Him, and then they're going to go out and tell a bunch of people. So earlier this month, I did a 10-day fast. So Richie talked about he's going to prepare for his 10-day one day. He finished his first three, right? And so over the years, you know, I started with one meal, then like one day, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, and 10 days. I don't do the 10 days often because it takes so much out of my body. It's pretty heavy. But when I did one last year, it was, how do I take someone who's a new believer to discipleship that sticks and multiplies? And through that 10-day fast, God radically transformed my life and kind of gave me a download of how we were going to disciple people who will disciple others, and we're going to start churches from that model. So this theme of this 10-day fast was, God, I don't know anything about people of peace. So the people that are open to Jesus who don't know Him, that will lead to Jesus, and they're going to go reach their entire community, their family and friends and their colleagues and their network. And I said, Jesus, how do I do this? Like, how do you want me to learn? How do I find people of peace? So on the first day of the fast, I was at the Redwood Grove that's over in Brea. Highly recommend if you want to get away on a little retreat. It's a pretty cool area. And I was sitting there and I was like, man, can I go? I'm like ready to get out of here. I've been there for like 4 or 5 hours. And all of a sudden this question came to me. It just came in my heart. And the question was this: how do you take a person of peace from first contact to a thriving and multiplying church? So how do you take a person of peace from first contact to a thriving and multiplying church? And I realized that was the question that the Spirit of God put in my heart that He wants me to ask Him to learn how to do. And I was like, I have no idea how to do this, but I'm totally open to learn from you, Holy Spirit. How do you do this? So the scripture today of Philip and the Ethiopian is one of those examples where Philip is following the lead of the Holy Spirit, and He puts him in the right place, as what Justin would say, right place at the right time with the right people. And that person comes to know Jesus and goes, makes a huge impact. So here's the strategy I believe that God is giving us for the next season at Enrich Church. The next strategy for us is find people of peace who will lead to the harvest. So find people of peace who will lead to the harvest. If you're familiar with Philip, or if you don't really know much about him, a couple chapters earlier, he was actually chosen as someone who's an assistant to distribute food. So there was this conflict going on against the Hebrew Jews and then the Greek Jews that had converted. And some people felt it wasn't fair. And the apostle said, hey, find 7 people, and then they'll be the ones who facilitate the food distribution. Philip was one of those people who was chosen. And so Philip got to basically go and give out food to people. So everybody starts somewhere, right? Everybody starts somewhere. He started out as a zero, and he got chosen to distribute food. I mean, that's kind of like the bottom, right? You're handing out food to people. But as Philip was faithful with the little that was given to him, God increased it for more. So faithfulness will lead to your next assignment. So as you're faithful with the little that God gives you, God will give you increase for your next assignment. So faithfulness in the beginning with small is important for the huge impact that God wants to make through your life. So Philip started out food distribution, and then catch this, the Holy Spirit reassigned him to the whole area of Samaria, the town of Samaria. So he got reassigned. You know what happened in Samaria? Almost that pretty much that whole city turned to Jesus. There were crazy miracles going on, like people who literally were lame, couldn't walk, they got up. In Jesus' name, they started walking. People that had demons inside of them that were running their lives, they got set free, and the demons came out of people. Now, how many of you have ever met a warlock, the highest level witch in your entire city? No one. You may be crossed them. But in Samaria with Philip, the highest level warlock in the entire city came to believe in Jesus through Philip's ministry. So the highest level person of darkness came to know Jesus through what Philip was doing as he was preaching the gospel. So the healing and miracles that were happening, those simply supported the gospel efforts. So as the gospel was being preached, it was the signs and wonders that confirmed the gospel to people and set them free. So remember, Philip started at zero, became a food distributor, The Holy Spirit reassigned him after his faithfulness to go to an entire city to see entire city impacted for Jesus. And then after he completed his assignment in Samaria, he got reassigned again. So look at verses 26 through 29. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candaic, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage or chariot, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk beside the carriage." So that's crazy, right? Philip goes to this whole city. It's like if you were in Azusa and the entire city of Azusa showed up here at the park and people were getting healed, miracles, getting set free from demons. All the witches came out, which we've actually had witches show up at our gatherings, which some of y'all know. They were like hanging out and stuff because they know we're here and Jesus is King and his light is greater than all darkness. And they all showed up and they all started getting converted. That's what it would be like if Philip was right here doing his thing. And the Holy Spirit says, "All right, you completed your assignment." And then did you notice what actually spoke to him? It was an angel. An angel told him to go to this specific road, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. So you could see how angels are involved in our lives as believers, that when we're believers in Jesus, angels are actually assigned to you for kingdom and gospel purposes in your life, for protection and also gospel advancement. So the angel got him to the next place, and then if you saw it was the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk alongside that carriage." So Philip was attentive to how the Holy Spirit and how the angels of God working with the Holy Spirit were at work in their life. So Philip was attentive to God's voice. Did y'all see who Philip ran into? A treasurer of an entire country. What if y'all ran into the treasurer of the United States? Like, right? Like how, if you're on a plane and you're in Southwest, who knows why they're flying Southwest, but you could choose your seat, right? And the Holy Spirit was like, "Go sit in that seat next to the person." And you go sit to them and you find out they're the treasurer of an entire country. Man, what an opportunity you have in front of you, right? So the Holy Spirit is setting this up and Philip is following the lead. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to the right people at the right place at the right time. Did you notice that Philip had no idea what was going to happen? He only had the next step of what he was supposed to do. But as he did the next step, the Holy Spirit gave more instructions. So the Holy Spirit will lead us to these people of peace as we follow the Spirit's lead in our lives. So let's look at verses 30 through 35. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb was silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. So Philip was immediately obedient to the Holy Spirit. He heard the Spirit speak and he went and was obedient immediately. What happened to Philip would have been like, "Oh man, Holy Spirit, was that you?" Or like, "I'm kind of hungry," or "I got to go do this." He would have missed this divine appointment in his life. So there's these spaces that happen in your life. They're called kairos moments. There's two words in the Greek. There's chronos, which is chronological time. And there's kairos, which is a holy, like a divine moment in time. There's only a window that you can step into. And if that window closes, you miss your opportunity. So this is one of those kairos moments where if Philip steps into it, he steps into the perfect will of God in that moment. So here's the principle. You have to strike the iron while it's hot. You have to strike the iron while it's hot. So if you're like, "What's that about?" You know, back in the day when they would make swords, they would stick them in there and they get them all hot and they would smash them. Is when they're hot is when they're bendable and they're more moldable. In the same way, there's moments in people's lives where they are hot and they are moldable. And that is the divine moment you have to step into, or else you miss it. So George was over here earlier today, right over by our tent. And this guy walked up to him and said, literally, George was going to start a casual conversation. But the guy just is like, "Hey, can I join a Bible study you guys do?" So he just like jumped right into it, right? It was a divine moment So how do you think that guy got there? What do you think the angels were doing? So see how, yeah, see exactly, yeah. That's what was going on. The angels were moving people. So when we pray in our lives, the angels respond to those prayers because the Holy Spirit directs them and they get the right person, the right place, the right time. Also, Ethan was telling me the other day, he's at the gym with this guy he's been working out with, and I won't say his name just in case he gets the recording one day, but Ethan struck up casual conversational period of time, meaningful conversations, and then talk about spiritual conversations about Jesus and about church and stuff. And so who do you think was aligning all those places to be at the right place at the right time? The angels and the Spirit of God. So if we could take off the kind of this natural lens or put on our spiritual goggles for a second, you probably would actually see a bunch of angels around us right now. Jesus is probably standing here with us as we're gathered in his name. There's a whole bunch going on in the spiritual realm around us, and Philip was really in tune with it. So I'll tell you how Philip got in tune. He fasted. I guarantee he fasted a lot to operate at that level what he was doing. He spent time in God's presence through prayer, and he spent time in worship, personal worship with God and in the believers. And from that flowed his life that he was living. And so immediate obedience leads to kingdom opportunity. Immediate obedience will lead to your kingdom opportunity. And if you hesitate, you may miss it. So if you hesitate, you can miss it. But Philip had a game plan. He was trained for this moment. So he didn't just show up kind of, you know, I'm going to just go at this. He actually had trained. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do every step of the way. Did you notice how Philip started the conversation? He asked a question. He just threw out a question. Hey, do you know what you're reading? And then it led to an invitation for a spiritual conversation. And the spiritual conversation led to a question from the Ethiopian. Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip's like, let me tell you everything. So he started from that text to tell him about Jesus, to tell him about the good news. So do you see how all this comes together? It really has not much to do with you, because the angels and the Spirit of God are working in the lives of people around you. Your role is simply this. It's obedience. Your role is simply obedience. It's to be obedient to how the Spirit of God is leading you in your life as you're rooted in the Word of God. And as you do that, you're going to see God show up in all these crazy ways. Like, we were at the farmer's market on Friday doing our monthly outreach. It was cool. I hung out at the table with JR. We did the table ministry, and our table was hot. We had all these people coming, giving out the word, praying for people. JR was making people cry praying for them. I was just like hanging out. It was amazing. And our teams that went out came back with all these crazy stories. I'm not going to spoil some because I think some of them will come up as people share in the future. And I'm just standing there and I'm like, man, this is the book of Acts. Like, our church is literally living it out. And all these crazy encounters were happening. And you know what it was? People were just obedient. Like at the end, this is the only thing I'll spoil. At the end, Phoebe came up. She's like, Laura feels like she's supposed to go talk to these people. And we're already wrapping up. I'm like, go for it. Do whatever you want. Go for it. The Spirit's leading you. And it led to this really cool encounter. So it's obedience leads to these kingdom opportunities. Here's the principle. If you're going to write something down, this is really helpful for all this. Think about building bridges with people. So casual conversations lead to meaningful conversations, which lead to spiritual conversations. So casual conversations lead to meaningful conversations that lead to spiritual conversations. So casual, meaningful, spiritual. Just a way to build bridges naturally. Some people will come out the gate at you, like George, right? And then just, I'll go straight to spiritual. But some people, you got to just have a natural conversation that goes towards Jesus. But it's all about being led by God's Spirit. So let's look at the final verses here, verses 36 through 40. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north in the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. So remember this, Philip started at a zero, but he trained. He trained to the point where he knew what to do in these situations where they came up, where he could literally step into it from A to Z and walk someone from, what does this mean? What is this about? To, here is Jesus. The person saying to themselves, hey, I'm supposed to get baptized now. This is what I'm supposed to do for the next step. So the Holy Spirit initiated and the Holy Spirit authored. So the Holy Spirit was like, hey, go to this area, and the Holy Spirit authored everything, Philip's role was obedience. So as you're living your life to make disciples and to share Jesus with people, your role is simply to be obedient to what the Spirit of God places in front of you, remembering that the angels of God are with you in all these situations, arranging everything that's going on. So here was Philip's role. Be ready, be attentive, be obedient. And that's our role too. We're to be ready, be attentive, and be obedient. And if we develop that as our mindset, when we walk out our door, your life is going to look like Philip's life. It's going to be pretty amazing because God is simply looking for people who are willing to partner with him here on the earth to impact the lives of other people around them. Did you notice that Philip explained it so well that the Ethiopian was like, hey, there's water, I'm supposed to get baptized? Like, Philip explained the process of following Jesus so thoroughly that he knew what his next step was. In the same way, we need to train to the point where when we can meet with someone, we can walk them through the beginning of who is Jesus all the way through the discipleship process to the point where they say, this is what I'm supposed to do next. And that's why we create so many spaces here at Enrich for you to train, because basically Enrich is a training center. We train everybody here to be disciples of Jesus and to make disciples. So when we do the connect question of the day, Do you know what that actually is? It's the casual conversation. So this is actually really intentional. It's the casual conversation that leads to meaningful conversations that lead to spiritual. Because as I listen to different conversations, sometimes people are having like conversations about real deep stuff going on in their life. And people are praying with each other when we're not even like in a quote unquote time of prayer, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit is working. The Discovery Bible study that we do before we get in the Word like this, it's intentional because we want to train everybody to lead a Discovery Bible study. Because this is the space for people who are open to God but don't know Jesus. This is where they'll meet you in those spiritual conversations to read the Word of God in their life. And then when we do the seat sower training, we're going to train you how to go out and how to connect with people and how to live it on the daily. So that in your daily life, with your family, your friends, and your coworkers, you can take that and it's a normal part of who you are. And people will be drawn to that in you as Jesus comes alive more and more. So you know what happened after that? The Ethiopian went back to his country. The person of great authority, right? Treasurer of an entire country, so like right under the queen who runs the whole thing. Do you know what he most likely did? Can I tell you guys about Jesus? Imagine the impact he had within the government and with the entire country. If you studied Africa, Ethiopia is one of the most Christian countries in the entire continent of Africa. My guess is the Ethiopian, probably the eunuch, the treasurer, he had part of that process of bringing the gospel to Ethiopia. So whether you continue that relationship with that person and you disciple them to a thriving, multiplying church, or it's a happenstance situation where they go off back to their own country, if they're a person of peace, they're going to take what you've planted in them, the gospel, and they're going to take it and spread it to everybody in their sphere of influence. So here's some application points when you think about a person of peace. How do you identify a person of peace? So how do you identify this person that we're going to be looking for in this season that God is going to be bringing into everybody's lives here is OHS. You're going to write this down. This is a super simple acronym. The O is they're open to a relationship with you. The H is they're hungry for answers to life's questions. And S is they share with others what they learn. So OHS, open to relationship with you. Hungry for answers to life's questions, and they share with others what they learn. So if you're testing a person of peace to find out if they are a person of peace who's going to take the gospel to a lot of people, do they actually like you? Right? Do they actually want to have a relationship with you? If they don't, you're like, this person is not the person of peace. But if they like you and they want to connect and they want to have conversation, they want to continue to hang out, or you invite them to things like pickleball or whatever it is, right? What's your thing? And then they're hungry to answer the life questions. That's when you get into meaningful conversations. And then say they're talking about marriage and you're like, man, marriage is really hard. Like, and I couldn't do it without God. If it's a person of peace, they'll say, how does God help you? They'll want to know about more about God in their life, in your life, what he does. And then they're going to take what they learn about God, about Jesus, and they're going to share it with other people. If they hit all three of those indicators, they're most likely a person of peace. And what's important about them is they're going to have maximum impact. because they're often leaders within their communities, and they're going to take the gospel to their family, friends, and coworkers of their different silos that they're a part of. So catch this. This is huge. This takes the pressure off of us. God prepares the person of peace, and he prepares the time and location of first contact. So God prepares the person of peace, and he prepares the time and location of first contact. Our role is simply to be ready, to be attentive, and to be obedient. Because God wants all of us here at Enrich to be able to have that relationship with the person of peace, to disciple them so that they go from first contact with you to a thriving and multiplying church. So what that means is that we're all disciple makers, and we all can help start churches. Everybody can do it. So I want you to take a moment and prayerfully reflect with Jesus. Who is a person of peace in your life that you know? Who's someone that's open to relationship with you? Is open to God but doesn't know Jesus? Who wants to have those deep conversations with you about life to figure out life's answers? And who are the people who would share with what you learn? So take a moment and say, Jesus, is there anybody who's a person of peace in my life that you want me to start moving this direction with? And you might even be that person of peace yourself. Or if you're like Philip at a zero, right? Before the food ministry, and you're like, okay, Jesus, I don't know anything about person of peace, and I don't know how to make disciples, but I'm willing. Because he works with people who are willing. If you just give him your yes, I'm willing, then he'll work with you and he'll do everything. Because remember, I started at zero. Maybe I probably started in the negatives, to be honest with you, right? But he can take anybody who's willing, and Jesus will radically transform your life for his purposes. So take a moment to prayerfully reflect and to write down what you feel like Jesus is saying to you. Then we'll take some communion together. After you reflect on that question, say, how am I going to obey Jesus? How am I going to obey the Word of God? Because there's something there in the Word today that God wants you to apply to your life. How are you going to be obedient to Jesus? And then write that down after you get that. So on the fourth Sunday, man, it's an awesome Sunday. Because this is the day as a church that we get to take communion together. And this is so powerful because this is why we gather. It's all about Jesus. If Jesus didn't come to this earth as God's solution to all of our humanity's mess and our earthly mess, man, we wouldn't even be here. So Jesus, he knew everything was messed up, and he said, I'm going to come to the earth fully human and fully God, and I'm going to live that life that none of us could ever live. He was completely obedient to God. He never sinned. So that when he went on the cross, he said, I'm going to take on the sins of the whole world, everything. So he took your sins, he took your sickness, he took your disease, he took your demonization. He took all of that, and it was shoved into his body, and his blood was shed and supplied the salvation for all of those things. So he heals the whole person. He heals your spirit, your soul, your body, your sexuality, your relationships, your finances. He puts your whole life back together so that you can follow him and you can make disciples. So he gives you purpose. He gives you identity. He calls you a daughter, and he calls you a son, and you become part of his family. And that's why communion is so important, is because Jesus' body was broken for us, and his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And when he's on the cross, you know, Pilate was surprised he died so early, because people usually last longer. But Jesus took all the sin, sickness, disease, demonization of all humanity of all time. He literally took it into his humanity, in his body, as fully God, and it broke him. And not only that, he was actually separated from God so that you'll never have to be separated from God through Jesus. Because through Jesus, your relationship can never be broken. It can never be taken away. And you have that relationship with him. So we're going to have our communion service come forward. And we'll take communion as a church together. So whenever you want to come grab the communion piece here, please grab it. Kids will come over too. They're invited if parents are okay with them taking that. And our other communion server, thank you, Phoebe. So whenever you're ready, you can grab that. And I'd encourage you, before we'll take communion as a church, to reflect on your life and say, Jesus, is there anything I need to get right with you? Is there anything I need to get right with someone else? Take that time to talk with Jesus about those things. So feel free to come forward and grab communion when you're ready. So on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread, with everyone, and he held out and he broke it, and he told them, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So you can take the bread, remembering that Jesus' body was broken for you, the cross. And then he took the cup. It was full of wine, or this is grape juice, and it's also gluten-free. He said, this is the sign of the new covenant. This is the blood that we poured out for the forgiveness of sins. So you can drink the juice remembering Jesus has done for the forgiveness of your sins. So let me pray over everyone as we end our service together. Jesus, we're so grateful for what you've done, because this is the crux of everything, of all of history, of the earth. It's all about you. So Jesus, we humble ourselves before you and say, Jesus, without you, we can't do anything. We are completely dependent on you. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness, that you've forgiven all of our sins. And Holy Spirit, would you create a conviction in our heart of anywhere that we need to confess sin or make it right with other people and ask forgiveness? Would you give us a godly sorrow over our sin, that we would repent and follow you, Jesus? Jesus, I pray that everyone's relationship with you would grow so strong, that they would feel your presence and your love in a really tangible way in their lives, and that their relationship with you would grow stronger, that their trust would grow deeper, that their faith would expand, and that they would take those steps of faith, just trusting and believing that you're gonna come through every step of the way as we follow you and led by your Spirit and walk in obedience. Jesus, I want to pray for those that need freedom this morning, anything that's been hanging on them, that's like spiritual oppression. So in the authority of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I bind every oppressive demonic spirit in the lives of anyone here. I command you to be bound, and I break you right now off of everybody's life, and I command you to vacate in Jesus' name. Leave immediately. And Jesus, would you fill each person with your Spirit, with your light, and with your truth? And would you release a greater freedom right now for people, spirit, soul, body, sexuality, relationships, and finances? Jesus, we ask for total and complete freedom. You would bring deliverance right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your deliverance and for your freedom. If there's anybody that needs healing in your body, we're going to invite you just to put a hand on your body wherever you need healing from Jesus. And Jesus, I ask that you would bring, and if you have a kid too who has a sickness or disease, you can stand in the gap as a parent too. Put that there. It could be emotional, physical, mental. So you can place a hand there. Jesus, we thank you for healing through the cross. We ask you that you would release your healing right now, that you would go and touch your people. And anybody that doesn't know you, you'd bring your healing, Jesus. We command and release healing into your body, into your mind, your thinking to be made whole in Jesus' name, into your emotions to be made whole. Release healing in your relationships, in your life with family members, with friends, and even if there's someone that you feel like you need to call later today just to restore or like wrap something up, that you would have God's grace over that for a restoration and reconciliation of relationships. So Jesus, and anybody that has a need in their life, whether it's financial or a job situation, or they're needing wisdom for family dynamics or something, Jesus, would you release the resources of heaven to that person and those people right now for what they need from you? And Jesus, as we turn to face this week, we're excited for what's ahead, that you're already going ahead of us and you're preparing the right people in the right place at the right time that you want us to build relationships with. You want us to have those just casual conversations that lead to a deep conversation about life, that leads to a revelation, Jesus, of who you are, or people that you'll want us to pray with, or maybe like a homeless person, you'll want us to go buy them a meal and just ask them their story, whatever it is, or someone that maybe we'll invite next week. So Jesus, we thank you for all these people of peace that you're going to cause to emerge in the cities we live in and in the networks we're a part of. We thank you that they're coming. Would you train us to be like Philip? to be able to walk them to a thriving, multiplying church. Jesus, I ask your protection over everyone here as we go this week, over their loved ones and their kids and their family, maybe they aren't here too. You'd extend this prayer of protection over them. Father, that you cover them with their wings, that they'd rest in their shadow, your shadow. Thank you, Jesus, that we're all under your blood. Thank you that you are our shield and our sword, and I ask that you assign a legion of angels to each person here for your kingdom and gospel purposes. So Holy Spirit, would you fall on us? Would you fill us? And would you give us your message and perspective of hope that there's always a way and you always make a way. We're grateful, Jesus, in your name. Amen.